Welcome to Five Star Radio. Consider this your warning. Hey, cats. Kittens, Mike, Coughlin, halfguarded.com, halfguarded.com, say it with me, halfguarded.com, we are walking dogs, and we are talking about whatever I think about. Oh, somebody's opened their garage. I better look like a madman right now. First of all, I'm obviously inebriated, but not totally. Like, you'll discover, kids, the older you get in life, the more you can just drink and think that you're not drunk. This is why I believe that DUIs happen. Because you think you get so used to drinking all the time, as I have become because I hate my life. And you think to yourself, fuck, what's a bottle and a half or 1.5 bottles of wine in an hour? Puh, that's kid shit. But I am walking the dogs and I thought I should talk because I want to get a fucking show out this week, even though I already had one out this week. We've had a lot of good content this week. Again, we really have. It's been incredible. Like, everybody I know, like, and I've talked to, quote, the other insiders. And when there's no UFC, no major MMA events, everybody's like, what the fuck do we do? It's like death week. You know what we do at halfguarded.com? Produce some of the most outstanding editorial content you can imagine. On every topic. And this podcast, Five Star Radio, hear it. What's it say? What's the name of the website? Say it again. Say it with me loud and proud. Halfguarded.com. We got some people who have never listened before. And they are listening because for the first time in their life, they've been exposed. And the result is because of Chael P. Sonnen himself. I actually, you know what? His middle name is actually Patrick. I saw it on Wikipedia. And I'm 90% sure that Chael actually means Michael. And my name is Michael Patrick. We're like the same. But I wrote a column about Chael, and I stand by it. And Chael basically kind of commented on it. And here's the thing. Breaking kayfabe. Before he even said anything to me publicly, he DM'd me, direct messaged me. And it was basically, you know, in a way to let me know, like, hey, I know the deal. I like to think that if anything changes in his career, it's because of me. So we're getting possible new viewers, listeners. Now, please keep in mind, if anybody's listening for the first time, please come back in a week or two or before the next major UFC. The Five Star Radio podcast is generally one of two things. Me wandering around while I walk my dogs using my iPhone headbuds, sometimes inebriated or otherwise impaired, ranting and raving and doing what you're hearing right now. Or sometimes I'm actually in studio with a proper microphone doing the best breakdowns in the sport. No doubt. No fucking joke. So please, I beg of you, check it out. But right now we're ranting and raving about any and everything there is, including World Series of Fighting number 24 coming up Saturday. Headlined by John Fitch and Yushin Okami. Now, at one time, you would have said, my gosh, John Fitch and Yushin Okami headlining a show. What a joke. Except for the following week, the UFC's headlining a show with Dustin Poirier and Joe Duffy. As a general rule, no matter how shitty a UFC headlining show is, whether it be in Fight Pass or whatever, it tends to be better than anything Bellator or Special World Series of Fighting has to offer. I think John Fitch versus Yushin Okami is a higher profile fight, at least name-wise, than Joe Duffy and Dustin Poirier. And I think Poirier and Duffy should be really good. I think Duffy is an exciting, incredible fighter at 155. Maybe he'll drop down to 145. Poirier has proven himself over the years to be a very, very good and exciting fighter. It's going to be in Dublin, Ireland, where they're gonna have a fucking massive crowd, and I'm gonna fucking go out of the fucking walking my mind. They're drinking fucking Guinness and they're fucking whiskey, and they fucking beat their wives because they have nothing else, because their economy wants to shite. Aye, 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 boy, aye. and that actually be a good card. And Ben Rothwell's off the card, which makes me happy. So it's not the greatest card, but and then the UFC's got a bunch of big, big shows, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, and it's not like the World Series of Fighting is that big, except for this is actually not a bad card for what I would say is anybody who's ever listened to this fucking show. The World Series of Fighting on Saturday on NBC Sports. They're not paying me. I really wish they would. Please, I'll take like 50 fucking bucks. I'll tell you what. You find a toothless, like, crack whore who, as long as she won't give me an STD, and I'll plug your shit. Like, seriously, just come on. I'm desperate. In addition to Okami and Fitch in the main event, which I believe is only three rounds, it's Okami's debut at welterweight, which seems impossible. Like, how the fuck is this dude making 170 pounds? I don't think that's good for him. He was a big 185er. John Fitch has always been a guy that everybody's like, hey, he could have made 185. They say that because he started his career at 185, blah, 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 blah. But Okami's always fought at 185, making a cut down to 170. That's tough later in your career. I think he's actually only like 34 and Fitch is 38. There's a random fact to know off the top of your head. Fitch may be 39 or 37. But he's definitely closer to 40 than Okami is. And so, I don't know. That weight cuts, it's something to be made, but who knows? Fitch is obviously way more comfortable with the weight. Probably, but otherwise, other than that, it's a really cool fight. I kind of like it. It's a good matchup. I think that they kind of, their styles match up well as far as both guys are good at the other guy's strength. Which unfortunately leads me to believe this could be fought in the clinch, which is where when guys are good at everything except for basically being gods off their back, they end up in the clinch because neither one of them wants to give an inch on a takedown. Neither one of them wants to go for broke. Both of them are a little too conservative striking. I think that Okami has more natural punching power. But they're both boxers, basically, by trade, who can wrestle. Fitch is a higher-grade wrestler. But he's going to be more traditionally attacking from the legs, with Okami coming up from the body, because Okami does come from more of a judo background. I apologize for the win, but I don't give a shit. Fuck you. In the clinch, I think that's where Fitch wins this fight. Because Okami, as is typical of Japanese fighters, even one like Okami, who's been Americanized, they don't fight well in the clinch. They tend to be like I am, which is a pussy. Except for they're not pussies, because they're still more manly than I am. Dog, don't eat that. And that they look for technical positioning. They tend to treat the clinch as a technical battle. Whereas Americans will use the clinch of, oh, look at that, I got his foot a little opening, time to punch him in the face. And I think Fitch grinds away there, and therefore I think John Fitch gets this win. The X factor is age. Is John Fitch a little too old in the tooth? Long in the tooth. Is he too long in the tooth? And also the weight cut of Okami. Is it too much for him? I mean, he was a solid size 185. This is a guy who's only, the only non-bad loss he ever had at 185 was to Tim Boach before he went to World Series of Fighting. Otherwise, it'd been like, you know, Anderson Silva and Rich Franklin and shit like that. Like, it was, they're very, very good guys. And the Tim Boach fight, he was dominating, owning, completely winning that fight until he got caught on what was essentially a fluke. He fucking fought Hector Lombard and annihilated him. And Hector Lombard, as we all know, is a steroid cheat who should die in rotten hell. That's a little harsh. I don't wish that on you, Hector. I'm sorry. You'll never see me. Ha ha ha. I can say whatever I want. Keyboard warrior, what's up? Hashtag, is that a thing? I don't think so. Anyways, and yeah, obviously Fitch's head is ups and downs. He was famously choked out completely unconscious by Josh Berkman, which was a surprise given that he'd beaten Berkman before, and everyone thought that John Fitch had a neck that was impossible to choke. And then he had the, I always like to say obviously, because I think it, I don't know, I feel like that's a humbling expression. If I say obviously, it implies that you, my wonderful, beautiful listener, who's probably touching himself, herself, I know you're out there, one female listener, you know, he had beaten Brickman before. And then he had the loss to Husma Paul-Harris, where Paul-Harris did what he does, which is catch you with a leg lock and then hurt you and fuck you up. But Fitch is back. He said something like, oh, this has fucked me up for a long time, blah, blah, blah. But he's still fighting, because he has to, because he's almost 40 and he's never done anything in his life except for be an athlete. I really hope he's made some money. I don't know if he has. But what's interesting, on the other wrestling card, you have Justin Gaethje fighting. But for interest for you listening, who are like, what the fuck do I hear about worst person fighting? Why has my voice become several octaves higher? I sound the way that a man stereotypes a 1957 woman. Not 1956, but not 1958, but only 1957. Vinnie Magalhães takes on Matt Hamill in a fight where all I can say is, huh? Yes, that Matt Hamill. Matt Hamill, I'm dead. Matt Hamill has actually not heard that he's in this fight yet. Vinny's obviously one of the greatest jiu-jitsu practitioners on the planet in pure jiu-jitsu, let alone MMA. The fight goes to the ground, he wins. I think that on the bottom, on top, whatever, Vinny catches Matt. I actually think he's probably better off the bottom than he is on top. And usually that's not the case, but I've been reorienting my thinking to guys who are super demons at grappling. And I think guys who are very good at the actual art of submission, not what I would call position grappling. Ooh, I just invented a term. Note to self, somebody remind me that I said position grappling. Please. That's a very smart term. There are guys who win in jiu-jitsu and submission grappling, any kind of, you know, man-on-man groping. And they win because they're better positioning. I am one of those guys. I am not a submission first. Hence the phrase position before submission, blah, 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 blah. Vinny Magalhães, or Vinny Magalhães, or however, whatever iteration of his last name you want to use. Magalhães sounds more foreign than Magalhães. So we'll go with Vinny Magalhães. He's very good at submitting people. And I think a guy like that on bottom is actually better. It'll force him, because it forces him to be more aggressive. If he's on top, he's thinking, I'm on top. I don't want to lose my top position. So they'll be a little more passive. They'll be a little more tentative. They'll mind their P's and Q's, as it were. And they won't try for the submission as much because that top position is so valuable in MMA, points-wise. And I say points-wise, knowing full well that they don't actually give out points like you would in a real sport. But if you're on the bottom and you're Vinny and you think to yourself, you know what, I can regard at will on Matt Hamill, and I think he can. He'll just start get that super high guard. He will use a rubber guard more than anything. He's very good with the rubber guard, and he uses it more in MMA than he does in sports jiu-jitsu. He'll use that rubber guard to attack. Probably, I'm going to go with the right arm of Matt Hamill. It's a 50-50 shot of which arm he attacks more often. If I say right arm and it's correct, I'm a fucking god. Keep that in mind. Vinny Magalhães will use a rubber guard, attacking the right arm Matt Hamill, and he'll use it to look for an omoplata to either sweep or transition to a triangle, possibly set up a fake taking of the back going to an armbar. But I think somebody like Vinny works better off his back, actually, because they think to themselves, I might lose this fight in the eyes of the judge. I better get that finish. It actually forces them to be more aggressive off their back. And this is not true of all jiu-jitsu guys. There are going to be jiu-jitsu guys who are probably amazing off their back and who could be better at attacking off their back, but who also know either the ability to stand up or to reverse or sweep or whatever. And Vinny does, but people have this idea that Matt Hamill's a great wrestler. He's not. Oh, he won a world championship in the fucking deaf Olympics. Like, sorry, no offense to the deaf community, But I'm pretty sure that Jordan Burroughs and all these other dudes who win, like, Olympic gold medals can hear. Like, name me a single other wrestler you've ever heard of that, one, has a disability, notwithstanding Anthony Robles or Kyle Maynard, and or who's deaf. Like, Matt Hamill's a solid wrestler. But he won, I believe his deaf college was, like, Division III. He's very, very good at it, but what the fuck is Division III? That's like one of those divisions that I think's been renamed, and you go, huh? Like when I hear that, like, Division I is not actually Division I, it's actually Division II, because Division I's actually FSB or some shit like that. I don't know. They try to make it seem more important. But at the end of the day, it's just not real wrestling. Sorry, Matt Hamill did not go to Iowa or Oklahoma or the evil bastards Iowa State or anything like that. What he is a strong dude with a solid jab and a decent right hand. But he's very predictable 1-2 punching. There's a raccoon. Oh my gosh, look at the size of that thing. With a good solid takedown. And I give him credit for actually it's not a raccoon, it's a skunk. Oh shit. Okay, come here boys. We have to move away. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Degeneration X proudly presents a skunk. Ugh. This is why you shouldn't do radio shows walking your dogs at night. All half in the bag. But yeah, I mean, it's not terrible. I mean, Justin Gaethje's not bad either. So, I mean, World Series of Fighting, it's fucking fighting. There's nothing to fucking do. I fucking recapped Glory last weekend. You know how desperate you are when you recap a show that had 200,000 viewers on Spike? Fuck, dude, I think we had like 10% of that audience as fucking clicks on our website. That ain't right. I wish we did. That'd be huge. Is it? I don't really know. I don't know what the actual viewership is on our website. I tell myself it's because I don't want to know, so it doesn't influence my editorial skills and what I write. But I really don't want to know because I'll probably feel depressed. I put so much work into a site that has 5 viewers. And 3 listeners. Golly, I can't imagine why nobody listens to this shit. Anywho, Fitch and Okami, I'm intrigued. I really am. That's a solid fight. I wrote a nice column on John Fitch and Yusuf Okami a little bit. More on John Fitch because he tends to tweet more. Sorry, that's just why I wrote it. About how they really do deserve a place in the UFC. And they do. There were 503 fights in the UFC last year. John Fitch was not in any of them. Like, come on, man. Leonard Garcia knocked out Jens Pulver and then went on a 5-year run where his only real win, I think, was over Nam Pham, which everybody thought was bullshit. I think he lost the repeat. And the Korean Zombie, which at the time, and still may be, the greatest fight of all time, which I thought he lost. And then again, he lost in the repeat when they did it. Like, he had some, and he had a draw in there also. Because of course he did. It wasn't like, isolated here and there. I think Leonard Garcia legitimately, if you counted those as losses, would have been at like 11 in a row. Under the Zuffa banner. And I think 6 of those or 5 of those would have been in the UFC. But guess what? He had an entertaining fight. So don't doubt about it. Blah, blah, blah. And he's an outlier. So be it. And Leonard Garcia did this. John Fitch. I know John Fitch is boring. People don't like him. I actually find John Fitch have a captivating personality. I think there's something to him. Yushin Okami, not as much. And yet, both guys, I mean, John Fitch had 3 losses in his entire UFC career. Johnny Hendricks, George St. Pierre, and Damian Maia. That's it. Sorry, if those are your only losses, you deserve to be in the UFC still. And Yushin Okami, he's like 3-1 in his last 4 fights, with the only loss being to somebody good in the UFC. I think he lost to David Branch in the World Series of Fighting, which, oops, that's a bit of a knock on you. And that's really the problem with even Fitch. It's like, I can sit here and tell you the UFC shouldn't let these guys go, and they shouldn't have, except for Fitch went to the World Series of Fighting and lost to Josh Berkman real quick by submission, and lost to Paul Harris by submission real quick. And I think after that, Berkman came back to UFC, and Paul Harris would be in the UFC if he wasn't, you know, a fucking nut job. Still, he's a... There's a place, I guess, but there's also something to say for turnover of guys because, you know, modern era, bringing new blood. Let's all see Paige VanZant so we can pretend that she's 18, LOL, and Sage Northcutt where we could pretend that he's 18, LOL. Am I alone on that? Probably. Anyways, we're at the end of our journey. This has been your ridiculous five-star radio. Some people really like this shit. You people are weird. But this is HalfGuarded.com. We should just call it HalfGuarded Radio, but we're not smart enough to brand well. So until next time, I remain your humble host, Mike Coffin, for Five Star Radio, the single least important aspect of HalfGuarded.com. Saying to one and all, good fight, good night, Puggles, I love ya, et au revoir, mes amis.
I was a five-star man before the internet, and I'm damn sure a five-star man now, okay? I just gotta drop the dead weight so I can shine.